Welcome back to another episode of Swamp Donkey Radio. I have an exciting new format for the show to debut today. We are going to go through 9 innings, 9 topics. We'll rapid fire through each of them, present them to you in order, and have a good time. Ronnie, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great.
Are you ready?
I just popped myself on screen.
You look like a hostage today. We are in a warehouse, so we have a new setup, and I'm really excited about this new style. But are you ready, Ronnie?
Oh, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Start with the first inning.
Let's go right into our first inning. The opener is an injury bug, and you don't love to see that. Lucas Giolito has a partially torn UCL and flexor strain and could miss the entire 2024 season. And life as a Red Sox fan just continues to get worse. I honestly don't even know how to feel about this. Like, I want to be sad, but I don't even know if I have the right to be sad because it's just expected at this point. Like, everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. Speaking of which, Vaughn Grisham, who was traded this offseason from the Atlanta Braves for Chris Sale, will miss the first few weeks of the season.
Really?
With a groin injury.
Oh, man.
It's a tough time, man. As we're recording this a couple days in advance. I don't know if the Red Sox signed Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery. If I was a betting man, I would say no. And I'm going to be right. So I'm also going to be signing up for therapy in the next couple days to be coping with the fact that we won't be signing anybody. And our big offseason signing is out for the whole year with a torn UCL. Meanwhile, Ronnie's over here smirking as Juan Soto's hitting like 800 in spring training. Just having a great time. Yeah. It is pretty sad, though, that any hope there was for me as a Red Sox fan this year, and for Giolito, let's talk a little bit about him as a player. I mean, awesome that he got that second-year player option for $16 million. Great move by him and his agent because he's going to miss this whole year, and then he'll be able to opt in, and if he has a good year next year, still be able to get that contract. So, good deal in an offseason that feels like a lot of players aren't getting the contracts they want. Pretty solid signing for him. Liam Hendricks and Giolito are the pitching staff that we brought in, and both of them are injured. And the Red Sox have no pitching. So that's the first start of our injury bug. Really sad. Justin Verlander to start the season on the IL. We mentioned this a little earlier, but it's officially official. I think this is such a smart move. Even if he's not hurt, there's no reason for him to be pitching in April and even probably May. Bring him around June, July. Let him get ease into the season. And the Astros have really good pitching depth. They got Framber. They got Christian Javier. Their bullpen is nasty. Like, I like this move a lot for them, and I hope Verlander gets healthy. But also, I bet he's not even that hurt, and it's probably a little bit of let's just take your time here. I forgot he's going to be 40 years old, which is crazy. A lot of starting pitchers' injuries this spring training. Sonny Gray, mild groin injury. Now, he may be one of the most fascinating baseball players of my lifetime. I am obsessed with the history of Sonny Gray. I go on his baseball reference at least once a week. You want to know? I'm going to go on his baseball reference right now.
Once a week is a lot.
It's a lot because his career, he's 34 years old now. In my head, he's still young, which he is young.
He looks young,
but I still think he's like an up and coming pitcher. His career is fascinating. The early days in Oakland when he was Cy Young candidate, then he goes to New York and he has that brutal stretch.
Sucks.
Then he goes to Cincinnati and an all-star again and nasty. And his past 2 years with the Twins has been legit, really, really good. Second in Cy Young voting, only to Gerrit Cole last year, an all-star again. He has like 4 years between each of his all-star appearances. It's crazy. And in 2022 with the Twins, he was also good. He had a 3.08 ERA in 120 innings. Last year, 180 innings, 2.79.
What was his highest Cy Young finish in Cincinnati? Because I know he was nasty.
He got seventh in Cy Young in Cincinnati, but his best year was 2020. So it wasn't great. In, 2019. Sorry. That was his Cy Young seventh. He had 2.87 ERA, 175 innings with 205 strikeouts. He was pretty good. Yeah. But every 4 years, you get a nasty Sonny Gray year. It's insane. And now, hey, I like that move for the Cardinals. I wanted the Red Sox to bring in Sonny Gray this offseason, and they didn't. So that's a really good job by them. And I hope he gets back healthy pretty soon because he's a fun pitcher to watch. And I like when the Cardinals are good. Like, they got talent there, so let's get better, you know? So rooting for Sonny Gray to come back healthy. Sad he's missing the start of this season. On to our second inning. We will be ranking 10 MLB jerseys. Some of these are old jerseys. Some of these are made up. Some I found on Reddit. Some I punched in the chat GPT and had them generate. We're going to go through them all. Ronnie has the list. I have the list. We'll do this classic tier list style. The Tigers Little Caesars jersey edition. Now, this is a crazy one. This is an AI-generated one.
Right.
What's your first thought if you had to give it a just impulse letter when you see this?
Oh, man.
It's a magical piece. You Little Caesars, man. 5 minutes, hot pizza at your door. Detroit Tigers. May I introduce you to this? Nike logo?
This is like a burning dumpster where it's like, it's bad, but you don't want to look away.
I can't look away. I'm obsessed with it.
The more you look, the more you find.
The details on that pizza, I mean, cheesy crust. You got to respect the cheesy crust.
I think it's very, very busy, but I think immediate reaction was D tier because it's a horrid like piece of fabric.
It's pretty gross.
But I like putting it in C tier just for the sheer outlandishness.
C for Caesar. And if you're on audio, this is a bit of a visual segment, so I do apologize and go to YouTube and watch it there. Next, we have the Phillies leaked City Connector. You know, we've talked about these before, but let's give it an official rating. I don't know if this is going to be actually the Philly City Connect jersey. This is a D for me. I don't like it at all. I think it's pretty bad, and I hope the Phillies... I actually hope this was their City Connect jersey. They saw the reaction from me on this show right. and said, you want to know what? Let's change route. We're going to make a new City Connect jersey. I'm going to give it a D, Ronnie.
I would give it an F, but let's do
it. Whoa, don't be so harsh.
Yeah, let's do a D.
Speaking of food, we got the Chick-fil-A inspired jersey. Now, this one I found on Reddit, and I kind of love it. I think people use this in like men's leagues,
okay.
like men's softball or men's baseball league.
Okay.
So let's say the year is 2080 and we've just sold out as humanity to right. every brand in the world. Mm. There's no more small jersey patches. So this whole team inspired jerseys from stores. This would be the Chick-fil-A one. I kind of like it.
It actually kind of plays.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's like a spring training. Yeah. It's very men's softball-y.
I like the two-tone, kind of like each side is it's different color.
I do too. It's creative. I'm gonna give it a C just because I don't want to see it in the MLB. Like,
well, no.
It's not a professional jersey, but it's fun and creative, and it's better than the Phillies League City Connect jersey, which is saying a lot about how much I don't like the Phillies League City Connect jersey.
Yeah,
so and Chick-fil-A is good. So,
oh, Chick-fil-A is delicious,
it's amazing. Yeah. So, it goes up to a C.
Should we get Chick-fil-A?
Today? We're getting Chick-fil-A all after right. this. Next, I found this Cubs Northside City Connect inspiration jersey. I love the hat.
Fire.
This is a sick edit. Whoever, the Jersey Club, I think, made this, so credit to him. This is insane. I love the green, the north side. This is better than, I think, the actual Cubs City Connect jersey, the yes. Wrigleyville ones.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with this hat. Like, I just want this hat to be a thing. I don't know if this is a thing at all, but the patch on the arm, this is amazing. This is a strong A tier for me.
This is A tier.
A tier all. I mean, the little bear looks so happy. He's having a catch.
He's tracking down a fly ball down right field.
You want to know why? He's not the fastest bear in the world, but his routes. People, he's like sprint speed, maybe in the like the below percentile, but his routes top. It's like Mike Trout.
He's like Jerry Judy route runner.
He's tracking that ball down. Yeah. Next, we have the Vegas A's, who we'll talk a little bit about later in the show as we talk about their rendered stadium that they proposed. These AI-generated jerseys. These are AI-generated.
Talk to me.
Vegas A's jerseys.
Talk to me.
You seem like you have a strong opinion, Ronnie, so I'll let you cook on this.
S-tier.
S-tier. I had them in A-tier. These are nice. S-tier. I like these a lot. The Vegas is clean, the gold lettering. I like the number. The 15th right below the Vegas.
The
Nike patch looks beautiful. The trimming, that's the word I was looking for. This is a good one. Not gonna lie.
And I like the black hat with the top button being yellow.
Yes. I also like that it's not green. Because right. if you're moving to Vegas, I don't want to see the A's uniforms because you're not Oakland.
You're not Oakland.
So give me something. And it's kind of like the Vegas Golden Knights energy.
Type, yep.
So you want to know what? I'm going to slap an S on this one.
Let's do it.
That's a beautiful one. Now we got one that's an actual MLB jersey, or was an MLB jersey. We have the old Diamondbacks purple jerseys. Now, these are one of my favorite jerseys of all time. I am obsessed with these. Whenever I see these, I think of Randy Johnson.
Yep.
Just shoving. These are an S.
S. Absolutely.
S tier. Yes. Easy.
Very easy.
I think these are the best jersey by far. I might move Vegas A's down to A.
Wow.
I am. I'm moving the Vegas A's okay. down to A because I don't think they belong.
They don't sniff these jerseys.
Not even close. No. So, and they're more of the Cubs, like, fun, creative right. one. But yeah. these are real MLB jerseys. These are insane. So, the old Diamondbacks purples, they're the S tier.
I support.
Next, we have the Tampa Bay Hunter Greens. These were in 2008. These are an actual MLB jersey that were worn at one point. And I don't know if I like them.
These are vests, right?
I think so. There's a little bit of a vest going on. I mean, I'm just staring at the Rawlings glove in this picture that I'm showing, if I'm being honest. I'm just checking out the webbing on that thing. Oh, the hat's kind of nice.
Edwin Jackson.
That's a good, yeah, true.
It's,
I'm giving it a B.
It's very mid-2000s.
Yeah, it's not doing it for
me. It's B.
I don't want to disrespect it because it was an actual jersey, but I don't know. I don't love it. I'm not a big fan of that green color on a jersey.
I mean, I feel like they didn't do it justice.
They did not do it justice. That's a good way to put it. Number eight, these are also an actual MLB jersey, and these, man, are special. The Astros Sunset jerseys. I love this jersey. I don't know if this is a hot take. I don't know how anyone feels about this jersey in terms of public discourse, but this is one of my favorite jerseys I've ever seen.
They're incredible.
Slap an S on this bad
Yeah,
boy.
No, this is an S. Yeah.
Put this with the D-backs one all day.
Nolan Ryan in this,
bro. Oh, my God. Bring these back more. These are awesome.
I think they should, if they have another City Connect, they should just literally retro this.
Wear these. Yeah. These are unreal. The vibe of this is immaculate. All right, so that's a beautiful jersey. That's an easy S for the boys. Next, we have an AI-generated Rays jersey. Now, Ronnie, what do you think of this one?
I really like it. It's similar to the Astros.
It is. That's maybe why I like it. Yeah. It's a St. Petersburg inspiration. It has the same striping as the Astro Sunset jersey. I like the bird. I'm a big fan of birds. What bird? That's a pelican?
That's a pelican.
That's a pelican if I've ever seen one. So I like the pelican slapped on there. It's kind of nice looking.
I like it, yeah.
I think it's a bit of a ripoff of the Astros one, though.
A little bit.
So I'm going to demote it down. But I'll slam this in B.
I like B, yeah.
You know, it's not original enough for me to give it an A or an S.
I do like it says St. Petersburg, though.
Yeah, that's a nice one. As like a Rays City Connects inspiration, I hope they kind of go in that direction. Now, this one, I don't know if this is a real MLB jersey or not. I just saw this picture on Twitter the other day. I don't think it is. It's just a giant pirate on like a red jersey and yellow sleeves. And I mean, this is an F.
I hope this wasn't an MLB jersey.
Like I hope. I don't think it was. If it was, someone comment below and tell me. But I just saw this picture on Twitter and I ran with it. It could be AI. It could be real. I couldn't find out. I'm slamming an F on this bad boy.
This is an F. The hat's pretty cool.
That's nice. But the giant pirate, it's like not even centered. It's like off-centered.
All red. If it was like black, maybe.
That looks like a really good MLB The Show custom jersey design.
This is a Diamond Dynasty
That's
jersey.
A Diamond Dynasty jersey if I've ever seen one. Yeah. So that wraps up our tier list. Moving on to our third inning. Shohei Ohtani faced the Angels for the first time. There was a picture going around of him and Trout hugging it out.
Yep.
And I had a lot of feelings about it. I don't want to beat this into the ground. What's that saying? Beat a dead horse. That's a bad saying.
I mean, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, you don't want to beat a dead horse.
You don't.
That would be a bad time.
Unless you do.
So I'm not going to beat this dead horse.
But
I'm going to beat it. It hurt my heart a little bit because I saw Ohtani and Trout hugging, and it reminded me of the World Baseball Classic moment, which is still one of my favorite baseball moments I've personally witnessed live in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of them, like, hey, they were teammates for so long, and it's been so well documented. Yeah, they never made the playoffs. They never played on a high stage. But it's still crazy to me that the biggest moment we ever saw of them as teammates was them facing each other in, like, an international tournament, which was an awesome moment. But it's just unreal to me. And I was trying to think of, like, other sports comps or other baseball comps to something like this, because usually when you have – because at one point, Ohtani and Trout were the best two players in baseball. There was a two-year stretch where they were the best 2 years. Now, his last year, you know, Trout was injured. Judge has been awesome. Acuna has been awesome. So there's kind of been a little shifting of the hierarchy. But for 2 years there, it's like you have the best two players in your sport, and you're not even, like, close to making the playoffs.
No.
So I was trying to find out, is there a comp to that? Is baseball really the only sport where you're going to see something like that happen? Has that happened before in baseball? And I was really racking my brain on it. I couldn't really think of an example.
Like top players not making the playoffs?
Like two top five players, just not even close to make the playoffs. It's crazy.
I mean, it's low-key hard to do.
It's hard to do. And like, it's one of those things where we're going to forget about it. It's going to age and we'll look back and it'll be a fun sports fact for our kids in 15 years that they used to be on a team. Also, it gave me a lot of hope for Ohtani to get his making the playoffs this year. So I hope he stays healthy and we'll finally get to see him in the playoffs. But it was something that stood out to me. And also, as an Angels fan, if you're an Angel fan watching this, comment below. I wonder what the feeling around Shohei is. Because seeing him in a Dodgers uniform facing the Angels, it was slightly off-putting to me in just a it didn't feel right. Like, obviously, I think it's smart for him to take the money and, like, he should join the Dodgers and join a competitive organization. But, like, seeing him face the Angels in a Dodgers uniform, I was like, dang, that's – it was an uncomfortable sight. It has how I can put it. But I'm rooting for him this year, and I'm rooting for Trout this year. And it'd be awesome if the Angels made the playoffs this year.
That would be actually pretty crazy.
It'd be a fun story. Like,
almost
rally
like Bryce Harper?
Yeah. But I don't think it's going to happen. But it's something that I am rooting for. It is interesting seeing all these pictures coming out of spring training. Harper's a good one. Like, went into the Phillies, and then the Nats won the World Series. Like, that vibe in baseball. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was an uncomfortable sight to see. I think everybody can agree it was a little jarring to actually see Ohtani take at-bats for the Dodgers. Didn't he hit a homer in his first spring training at-bat?
Yeah.
He struck out in his first at-bat against the Angels. So if you're the Angels, you're up 1-0 on him. Ah. You got him. Spring training, you got him.
Just wait until that first regular season game, though.
Then we'll talk. That's must-watch TV.
Yep.
I'll be watching it. Moving on to the fourth inning, our breakout player of the week segment. I have something that will really excite Ronnie today. I have two hitters that I was going back and forth on who I wanted to highlight this week. We'll do a full episode on this maybe next week or the week after, where I'm going to highlight five hitters that you guys should be excited for the 2024 season. This guy, who I'm very interested about and I want to hear your opinion, today's spotlight will be Anthony Volpe.
Oh, okay.
I was digging in.
Okay.
Because I hear a lot about this guy every day.
Do you?
I hear a lot about him around the office. The hype is a lot. He only AL rookie to win a gold glove last year.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. That's nice. He racked up a 3.3 war, hit 20 homers, stole 24 bases, was caught stealing five times, 83% success rate. Finishing the season with an over 3 war, despite only having a 666 OPS, which is just a, let's change that a little bit, is very impressive to me. Like, to be have a positive war like that when you are objectively a bad hitter is, that's a lot of promising signs if you're a fan of Volpe or the Yankees. So I wanted to dig a little bit more into the numbers. He had a 624 OPS against righties and 817 OPS against lefties. But he hit 16 homers against righties and only 5 against lefties. So a 200-point difference in the OPS with an 11-homer difference, that's hard to do. And he was really, really, really bad against breaking balls last year. He had a 140 batting average against breaking balls. Now, all that said, I'm actually really excited for him this year. I think this is going to be a good year for him. Bringing in Soto, Verdugo, healthy Rizzo, healthy Judge. A lot of pressure on this Yankees team. I don't think there's any pressure on Volpe.
No.
If you're a gold glove shortstop and you're racking up free war easy just based on defense, literally not hitting at an MLB level, in terms of getting to a 700 OPS is which where I draw the line of just like bare minimum. It's really impressive. So if he can just have, and his on-base percentage was 283 last year, if he can just have a free 20 on-base percentage and a 700 to 750 OPS with gold glove defense, you're going to be a four war player on a team with World Series aspirations in your second year. And you can probably hit in the bottom half of the lineup with not a lot of pressure on you because you have two of the top five hitters in baseball in your lineup. I think there's a lot of reasons if you're a Yankees fan to buy some stock in Volpe this year and moving forward. He's going to get a lot of opportunities, plays great defense, has two guys to look up to and learn. He played 150 games last year, got 400 plate appearances. You got to imagine he's going to be better this year. What do you think, Ronnie?
He's very young.
Very,
very young. Rookie year. I mean, a lot of pressure coming in because the Yankees passed up on Seager, Correa,
for
Turner,
sure.
Simeon. So that incredible shortstop class, they passed up on them for him. So I mean, that could have been a lot on him. And he was also batting leadoff when the Yankees were bad. So
for sure.
That's a lot of plate appearances where he wasn't doing much and it got really loud because the whole team wasn't playing well. So if the team plays well, he's bottom of the lineup, he's getting on base, stealing bases, doing what he does best, and being good defensively, I think he should have a much better season last season.
I agree. He's only 22 years old. I'm just looking forward to, if I was a Yankees fan, what I'd be wanting, give me 750 OPS, 4 war, OPS plus 100 to 105. Just be right there in your second year, show me some growth. And I think he's going to do that. I'd buy in this year. No pressure. And that's a good point about the Seager and Turner things. I mean, that's a lot to live up to. Mm-hmm. Seager's just won World Series MVP. Trey Turner is insane. That's a lot of pressure to have on you as a kid who's 21 years old on the New York Yankees. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want the Yankees to do well, but he's a player that I do imagine having a good year. The other guy I was thinking about was CJ Abrams, who maybe I'll talk about next week.
Another shortstop.
Now let's get to our fifth inning. Each week in the fifth inning, we'll do a different game. Today, Ronnie is going to give me five different starting pitchers, and I'm going to have to rank them without knowing what the next pitchers are. It's called a blind ranking. Ronnie, are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm nervous because I don't want to fumble this. All right, let me write out my rotation.
Okay.
All right, I'm good.
Your first pitcher that I'm presenting to you that okay. I want you to put in this rotation.
This is the Team Swamp Donkeys, by the way.
Team Swamp Donkey rotation.
Yes.
Kyle Hendricks of the Cubs.
I'm putting him third.
Wow, fast.
I'm putting him third. Kyle Hendricks gives me major. This team's going to be good, and Kyle Hendricks is my third starter.
Third starter for Kyle Hendricks.
Is that low? God dang it, I don't know.
Could be low, could be high, you don't know.
I have no idea.
But you did the smart thing, which is throw him right in the middle.
In the middle. So yep. Either I'm going to have a great rotation or a bad rotation.
We're ready for see. The second guy?
Give me a second guy.
We got Walker Buehler.
Healthy Walker Buehler, he's my ace.
Wow, number one.
Walker Buehler is my number one. He's starting every... Oh, I like how my rotation is shaping out. Okay. Walker Buehler starting every day. When he's healthy, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. And I know I'm saying when he's healthy. He pitched over 200 innings a year ago before he got hurt. And that's very impressive to do in modern-day baseball. So, I like him. Give me your next guy.
Next up, we have Yusei Kikuchi.
Oh, okay. I'm looking quickly at his ERA from last year and his numbers because I don't remember what he did last year. Okay. All right, Yusei Kikuchi.
What'd you just see?
3.86 ERA, 167 innings. That gives me really solid number three starter vibes. If he's our four starter, we're like a World Series team. But I don't think there's going to be a better pitcher than Kyle Hendricks and Yusei Kikuchi on this list. So I'm going to put him as our number two starter.
You're putting Yusei Kikuchi as your number two starter.
Out of fear. of what you're holding next. No, I'm putting him as our fourth starter. We have a great team. Okay. I'm pivoting.
Number four is Yusei Kikuchi.
So right now it's my ace is Walker Buehler. My third, Kyle Hendricks. My fourth, Yusei Kikuchi. Okay. Who else do you got?
All right, next up I have Lance Lynn.
He's our fifth starter. He's giving up tanks every day. Come on, Lance. But it's fine because we just need him to go out there and get through five innings because this next guy. Come on, Ronnie.
He's pretty good.
Okay, so I built a good rotation.
Luis Castillo.
Oh my God. Hell yeah, dude. I kind of nailed this.
Yeah, you kind of nailed it.
I nailed it. Walker Buehler is the ace. Luis Castillo is our second. Kyle Hendricks is our third. I mean, talk about a decent rotation you got there. Kikuchi and then Lance Lynn.
Oh my goodness.
Who's just eating innings.
Yeah, yeah.
How did Kyle Hendricks do last year?
I feel like he's kind of underratedly bad.
3.74 ERA, a little banged up, only got through 140 innings. Gave up, how many homers did he give up? I always like to look at that. Only 13 homers on the season, good strikeout to walk ratio. All right. I'm pretty happy with this rotation.
You probably did the best you could.
If I had all these five starters presented to me, this is how I put them.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy
putting, with that. I was kind of hoping you put Kikuchi second, so then we get real funky.
If Castillo's my fourth starter, that's not what you want to see.
Yeah. I mean, you'd get him mad, and he'd probably request a trade.
I would. Yeah. He's requesting a trade. Yeah. He's an angel. Yeah. Hey, that was a good five. Nice job, Ronnie.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Moving to our sixth inning, we have the show 24, which I want to talk about a little bit. It's all coming out soon. Vladdy's has the cover. That's a while ago, but just let's do a quick rundown. What was your thought on that? We never talked about this.
No, it was pretty unexpected. I was kind of like, oh, okay, Vladdy. He would have made sense when he had that great year, but also Tani had that great year. So it's kind of like, okay. The cover art is pretty cool.
It is cool. I like it.
Yeah, I like the art on it, but it being Vladdy was a surprise.
Yeah, I think it's just a year late was the only issue. Yeah, if he was last year's cover, I don't think anyone has any issue, and especially with a lot of controversy. It's
after Jazz being on it.
Yeah, it's been like, I feel like they've just been misstepping a little bit. Like, this year should have been Acuna, and last year should have been Vladdy, or the year before. Obviously, they have Ohtani they could put on every year as well. It surprises me that Mookie Betts has never been a cover.
I think there's a lot of, like, contract stuff and rights.
Yeah,
like
stuff's always weird.
He might have been a cover athlete for a different mobile game.
Yeah, that's true. I think he was, actually. I think it was like RBI Baseball. He was the cover athlete.
But like Julio could have been a great one.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt.
True. I actually think this matters, too. I know some fans might not care, but I do think it matters because it shows, A, who MLB is likes and trying to market. Like, Jazz Chisholm was clearly, there was a strategy behind him being the cover, even though he was clearly not, like, the best player to fit. There's clearly a reason you pick these players. Tatis in 21, Ohtani, and now Vladdy. So I like that he's on the cover. I think he deserves it. But overall, the vibe of the game that I want to just talk about real quick is kind of stinks from 23. It was horrible. The game died in like May and it came out in March. This game drops March 15th. And I'm interested to see if there's a lot of buzz. Because I think the people that I, or like our fans of We Got Ice, tend to be people who play baseball and are in high school or a little younger than that. And I do think there's a correlation. Like when a new show game drops and it's electric and then baseball season starts and it's really fun, there's a good correlation there between like how excited you are for MLB in total. So I'm hoping this game has a little bit more buzz than it did last year. And I'm just reminiscing back to my old days because Josh Donaldson retired this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, Yankees legend. He hung him up. MVP. Good career overall. He was really good.
MLB the show cover athlete.
MLB the show cover athlete. And I remember that my favorite year of watching baseball was when Josh Donaldson was the cover of the game. And the reason I got really into baseball as well is because I was playing so much of the show. It's like I want to watch games as well. So I do think when the game is really good, especially for younger fans, it does translate to having more general interest in just watching baseball and following your favorite players. So pretty cool for Vladdy in general, but I don't know. I would have gone a different direction.
You saw they put women?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
That was awesome. I'm really happy about that. Yeah. That's a good update for them. And I'm interested to see what the general buzz of the game is when it comes out. So I'll be keeping an eye on that, and I also like to play. So if you also like to play, you want the game to be good. The seventh inning stretch, Ronnie. Let's take a minute to breathe. We've got a pretty fast-paced show.
Yeah.
Seventh inning is always the longest inning. You know, a lot of bullpen changes and stuff. And this is a week. This is a segment every week where I'm going to take a little time. We're going to talk about multiple topics in the seventh inning because I like to imagine that usually your starter goes six innings, maybe 6 2/3.
Okay.
Then you bring in a reliever.
Right.
You got multiple pitchers on the mound. You can see four different pitchers in one inning.
The Verizon call to the bullpen.
This is the Verizon, not sponsored. This is the McDonald's call to the bullpen.
Sponsor us, please.
Please, McDonald's. We're going to talk about a few things on my mind. First, the A's unveiled a new rendering for their Las Vegas ballpark. A couple A's topics on today's show. It was pretty cool. It's going to be located on the Vegas Strip. The 33,000-person capacity ballpark provides an outdoor feel with views of the city skyline. That's how they described it. I don't think this is actually going to happen.
I don't think it can happen.
It's an insane rendering. I'll put a picture right here for you guys to look at, but it's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. This is my, like, remember when they did the Utah rendering?
Yep.
That felt a lot more doable. Yeah. This looks like a complex. This isn't a baseball stadium. It's a whole different atmosphere.
I mean, the Sydney Opera House inspiration is crazy.
It's crazy. I don't like it.
I like it. I just think it's way too much for it to be even, like, thought about. It's not realistic at all.
That's true. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit of an old dude here.
Yeah.
But I like baseball fields, man. Like, I'm a simple man. The A's Coliseum isn't good. It's a bad field. I understand that. But you don't have to go from, hey, the Oakland A's, they play on a bad field. We should change that out. Ownership being like, we don't care about fans. Let's move this team to a new city. By overcompensating and building this, like, insane industrial complex and be like, we're the Vegas A's now. And, like, really changing the whole culture of like what Oakland A's were. And I mean, the Athletics have a great history. There's a lot of fans who really care about them. And I really care about them. Like, I like the Oakland A's. I think I want them to stay in Oakland. And then the thought of like them going to Vegas and having these totally new jerseys, even though I like those concepts, and then playing this like insane looking complex where it holds like a ton of people. I don't know. It just feels, maybe I'm being a little upset and my frustration is that they're leaving Oakland in general. I just don't like it. It feels too much.
They're going from literally the worst kind of like conditions for players.
Yeah.
Like, you know, literally the dugouts don't have like any coverings on them.
It's horrible.
It's horrid. The showers are bad, to going to like $1.5 billion stadium.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the A's.
It doesn't. And maybe that's what they need to do, because if you're going to move the A's, you have to have a reason to move them. Like, if we're like, hey, we're getting out of Oakland, like, you better have the best facilities. You better have a reason for people to go play. And I bet a lot of people want to play for the Vegas A's. So I guess on the other side, it's like, hey, if we're going to do this, we got to do this right. You're bringing in a baseball team. I don't know. A lot of sad feelings for me around that in general. And then I was starting to wonder, like, do you like when people, like, old teams change their ballparks or update their ballparks? I feel like when the Yankees old stadium to the new stadium, I feel a lot of people reminisce about that.
So, old stadium was a little bit before my time. Main knowledge was new stadium and on.
Yeah. New Yankee Stadium's nice.
I mean, yeah, it's all right. It's just very historic, you know? Yeah. It's almost like a big museum.
A little bit. It's cold, a lot of concrete.
Concrete, it's kind of, like, really hard, but I mean, I kind of miss the old Texas Stadium.
Yeah, that's true. The new dome is like, it's nice. It's a little much.
It's nice, but you know, they're starting to lose a little bit of character.
Yeah, I think that's like stadiums like Wrigley and Fenway. Have you been to Fenway?
When we went to Winter Classic.
Oh, true. Yeah. So you saw a hockey game.
No baseball.
We got to get you a baseball game now. Yeah. Again, I'm being a bit of a boomer. There's some beautiful elements to having like an old field. And I get the change in the evolution of baseball stadiums, but I don't know. I don't fully love it.
Are there any new stadiums that you kind of do like?
I like updates. Like Fenway is updated. It used to be gross and like kind of old and worn down. They kept a lot of it. They just kind of cleaned it up and updated. But my favorite, PNC Park is kind of new. I love PNC Park.
Is it?
I think it is, right? When was PNC Park built?
I don't know. I feel like it's been there for a while, at least over 10 years.
In my opinion, 20 years is like...
Okay.
Yeah, 2001. So in my head, that's not really that new.
That's like over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Miami.
Miami?
I remember that when that one unveiled.
When was the air built? When was the Marlins ballpark
2010s.
Built? We should do a ballpark tier list.
We should, yeah.
And like really... Because I have some strong opinions on them. 2012, okay, that's new. Yeah. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
It kind of just has like a baseball stadium feel to it, mm-hmm. which I like. But I also like quirky stuff. Like when the Astros had the mound in the outfield, that was awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Like I remember as a kid watching, obviously probably a safety hazard. Yeah. But
you know what's new too? Atlanta's, the Truist Park.
Yeah, that's also new.
Yeah.
I like that. Another topic I wanted to address quickly is I'm in the market for buying a new baseball glove.
You are.
Ronnie just bought a new one.
I did.
What'd you buy?
I bought a Rawlings. Rawlings Heart of the Hide.
Heart of the Hide. And then I'm in the market, so I'm looking around, and it made me appreciate some of the cool gloves and brands around Major League Baseball, and I started to get into it a little bit. The only one I really just, Mike Trout's Nike glove needs to, you got to intervene there.
It's tough for him because he's Nike, but the Nike glove's probably
you can't
the
worst. Be wearing a Nike glove. No. Like, we got to check off our list of what you can and can't be doing. Nike glove is a no. But I digged in. I love Wilson. Obviously, the Rawlings. Beautiful. Heart of the Hide. That's might what I end up getting. We'll see. I'll keep you guys updated. But there's some the Rev X Lindor is my favorite glove on the market right now. I think it is Wilson.
Or is that Rawlings?
I don't know. But it's the one where I'll show a picture on the screen for people listening. It is an absolute beauty. I mean, Tatis has some really cool gloves. Jazz Chisholm has some cool gloves.
Arenado has a good one.
And they're just beautiful. And my big takeaway is I need more custom gloves in baseball, even more. Like, they're starting to get loose with it. Like, you can wear some custom cleats in warm-ups. You can wear some custom stuff in general. But I want even more player-designed merchandise that they're wearing during the games. And cleats is my big thing. Like, I want each player to have, like, cool-designed cleats that they're allowed to wear, and there's not really a rule about them.
Yeah.
Just so you know, as long as there's nothing, like, offensive on them, you're good. That would be awesome. And same with gloves. I want each player to continue to have cool and, like, outgoing gloves. Jazz Chisholm's mint glove is one of my favorites. So, as I'm in the market for one, MLB, let your players shine a little bit more. I think that's a really effective way for kids watching.
Yeah.
Digging in more, our eighth inning. We're nice. We're stretched. We're loose. Let's get into a pretty exciting topic for me. It's pipeline check-in. That's what I'm calling it today. I love a good top 100 prospect list. It's one of my favorite things. I love what's coming. My life, I live in anticipation. I like to think about what's happening, and then when the day gets there, it's not as exciting for me, but I like to live in anticipation of things. And one of the things I like to live in anticipation of is players making their major league debut.
Yeah.
So I digged into the top 100 prospects. The top 7 prospects on this list have either already played in Major League Baseball or expected to play this year. That's pretty crazy to me.
That's insane.
Usually you don't see that. Top 100 prospects, all ETA, according to MLB, which, you know, MLB.com, use your different sources, but that's the one I'm just looking at today. Expected to play in 2024. So I wanted to highlight a couple people. We talk a lot about Jackson Holliday, I feel like, around the baseball world. He's gotten plenty of coverage. Well-deserved. Not knocking him at all. I want to focus on a different Jackson, though. The number 2 overall prospect in baseball. Now, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Jackson Churio?
I would have to look at the spelling.
Botching that, it's C-H-O-U-R-I-O. And that was my first instinct. I might be botching it. But he's a Brewers prospect. And he's 19 years old. He's an outfielder. He had 22 homers and 44 steals last year in AAA, becoming the fifth 2040 teenager in a minor since 1958. The last player to do that, Ronnie. Ronald Acuna Jr.
Wow.
In 2017. That's good company you want to keep, especially since Ronnie just won an MVP and had a 40-70 season. Both reminder, 19 years old.
Both from Venezuela.
Both from Venezuela. A lot of comps here. A lot of comps in our game. Outfielder, fast. a lot of power, and signed an 8-year, $82 million extension in December. That's an MLB record for a player who's never played an MLB game.
Jackson?
Yes.
No way.
8 years, $82 million extension in December. That's a record for a player with no MLB service time.
Holy cow.
Good for you.
My goodness.
And that gives me even more Acuna energy. Because remember, yep. Ronnie signed a big extension with a little, you did, with very little MLB experience. Now, if the Brewers are seeing a lot of these comps of them, smart. Get him locked up now. I like when players do that. A lot of people commented, hey, the Brewers have a top prospect. Talk about him more. I'm excited to watch him this year. So yeah. I wanted to highlight him, give him some love on this show, and congratulations on that bag. I didn't know you got it. And if he ends up being anything even close to Ronald Acuna, I mean, Milwaukee's going to have a fun time.
Being born in 2004 sounds crazy.
That's crazy. Dude, I looked that up, and it said 2004?
Well, his birthday's coming up in 5 days as the time of this recording, March 11th.
True. Oh, happy birthday.
So he's turning 20. He's turning 20.
20 years old. And he has $80 million.
In the bank.
Just chilling. I mean, there is a lot of comps to him and Acuna. It's actually kind of creepy. Like, wow. The large extension, mm-hmm. the steal and power numbers. He literally matched Acuna what he did in the minor leagues. Venezuela, position, a lot
League.
Of comps. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of creepy, to be honest. So.
Both named Ronald Acuna Jr.
So I'm rooting for him. Also, top two prospects in baseball being Jackson.
Jackson is the hot name. It's like the Jalen in basketball.
It is, but like, and both of them go by Jackson, not Jack.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's something to note there. Maybe Jacks are on the getting out of town and Jacksons are in.
Wow. Yeah. So, honestly, Jackson is kind of like a cooler.
It's a hot boy name.
Yeah, it's a hot boy name.
You got to respect it. Other player I want to highlight, number 7 overall prospect in baseball. He was my favorite candidate coming out of the 2023 MLB draft. And I'm absolutely blown away that people are already projecting him to make his major league debuts this year. His name is Dylan Cruz. Second overall pick last year. Only reason he didn't go number 1 overall is because there was a guy named Paul Skeens throwing 100 miles per hour and dicing everyone in the nation up on a national championship winning team. But the other guy in that team, Dylan Cruz, was also making a name for himself. He was nasty at LSU. I watched a lot of LSU games last year. He was so good. He's 22 years old, which is now like old for a prospect. We're talking about Jackson Holliday, who's 19. The other Jackson, who has last names, I still hope I pronounce it correct.
Churio.
Is also 19.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Dylan Cruz is 22. He's going to be turning 23 this season.
He's an old head now.
I know. He's 20. He's younger than me by 2 years, and we're like, you know, he's old now.
Yeah.
But coming out of last year's draft, I was very excited about him. A lot of people talked about him as the most polished hitter coming out of college baseball in a really long time, and I actually second that a lot. His numbers last year in Double-A were a little shaky at the end of the season, but that's just because he played an entire year of college baseball, then got drafted, played in single-A for 14 games, went up to Double-A. But there's a lot of expectations around him, and I can't believe I'm about to talk about the Nationals, but I'm actually excited for them.
No, you're not.
Not to watch, but if I was a Nationals fan, I'd be excited. Because a lot of guys on this team that, if you're going to watch a team lose, at least you got hope. Like, Mackenzie Gore is projected to be a breakout candidate this year. If he's ever going to put it together, let's get it going. I mentioned C.J. Abrams earlier. I'm excited about him. And I'm going to watch Dylan Cruz at bats. I'm not going to watch the whole games. But if he gets called up this year, I'm going to watch them. And I can't believe that I'm talking about the Nationals for more than 30 seconds, but I am.
Last episode, you had 0 notes.
And I apologize, because I dug in a little bit more, and I said, you want to know what? Let me give a goddamn note. Let me give more than 1 notes on them. You deserve it. Dylan Cruz is someone I'm really excited about. That's a really fun draft, so I'm hoping that draft ends up working out. The only top pick in that draft who's not projected to debut this year is Max Clark, who is 18 years old, and he's expected in 2 years.
Too young.
Got to get to 20 to make it to Major League Baseball. Let's get to our last segment of the show, the 9th inning.
Bringing the closer.
I have a name right now for it. We're going to go around the antlers.
I like it. It sounds cool.
We're
going to
see how it goes. All right, let's go around the antlers. We got 5 questions. Me and Ronnie will answer each of them. If you guys want to be featured in this segment, make sure you comment below on YouTube. Every single week, you can also tweet or send them on Instagram, and I'll read them. What is your second favorite MLB team and your least favorite MLB team? I'm allowing a 2-part question here.
Okay.
I'm being generous. You go first.
All right. My second favorite MLB team are your San Diego Padres.
That's a good one. That's a good one, kid.
Yeah. I love their rebranding. I love Tatis is my favorite player.
That's a good one.
So San Diego Padres and my least favorite MLB team. Unfortunately, fans of the team, cover your ears, is the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, really? Why the Brewers?
It's
a weird one.
I love their branding and jerseys, but just kind of like their entire vibe. It never really does it for me. Like, they could have a good team, and I'll think, you know what? They're in the NL Central in Milwaukee, and I kind of always just block them out of my
head. I kind of have a creepy similar answer. My least favorite team is the Cardinals. The Yankees are my least favorite team, but if I'm picking someone else, it's the Cardinals. I just find them incredibly boring in my mind. I always have. Their logo is amazing. Their jerseys are amazing. And I think it's also because of the kid. The Red Sox played them in the World Series in 2013. I just really wanted them to lose.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of resignation against them for me. So, yeah. I remember Michael Wacha being a stud rookie in that World Series.
Yep.
Just coming out. So, and my second favorite team shifts every year. I'm going to be honest. It depends. I'm a very bandwagon person when it comes to my second favorite team. Right now, it's the Mariners. Last year, it was the Padres. Shifts. All right. What's your favorite desert island dessert item is the question. Whoa. Which is confusing to me.
Double S. Dessert item for the desert island?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of hot, so I kind of want probably something a little refreshing.
Give me a cookie.
See, I don't know. That'd get my mouth really dry. Do I want ice cream?
No. There's no bath for all. Why am
I your first thing goes to fuck.
I saw a shirt the other day that said IBS isn't your personality trait, and I was like, God dang it, it is.
It is. It is. You're the only person. I would say probably like a really moist cake. A tres leches.
There you go. It sounds so cool when you say anything in Spanish. I'm jealous. Sorry. Have you ever thought about calling it the swamp when you have guests on? That was a question. I mean, you read our minds. Right after we wrapped up the show, we said that donkey corner is horrible, or whatever I called it.
Yeah, and then
you intervened.
Like, I said, welcome to the swamp.
We're going in the swamp. So if we have a guest on, they're going to be in a swamp. Maybe we'll make them drink swamp water, really punish them.
I like that.
We'll come up with something. But yes, from now on, if we have a guest on, we'll be welcoming them to the swamp. And every week, if you listen, we welcome you to the swamp. What is the best day to watch baseball? Now, this could be taken as two different directions. Yeah. Are we talking like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday type situation?
Right.
Or like 4th of July, some Memorial Day, something like that.
Right, like a holiday.
Yeah, type. I have an answer.
For both?
For both.
I also have an answer for both.
All right, you go first.
All right, I think the best day to watch baseball of the week is a Sunday afternoon.
Easy layup. Sunday at 1.
Oh my goodness, when it's sunny.
Even if it's like slightly rainy out.
In the spring or summer, dude, when it's nice. Ugh.
I'll throw that bad boy on the radio. Now I'll get old on you. I love listening to a game on the radio.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite. Like if I have like errands or if I'm like doing something, throw it on the radio. Or if you're driving.
Driving is great.
It's magical. Great. It's magical.
So Sunday for you too?
Yeah, Sunday for me.
And then day of the year. Do you have one?
Opening day.
That's a good one.
Opening day is the most exciting. There's so much hope in the air. You eating hot dogs, drink a beer or two. It's a magical time.
I would say wild card weekend.
Oh, that's a good one. Before they changed the format. Like one game wild card, I'm locked in.
Yeah. You know what?
It's not as exciting.
Changing my answer, Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day is a good one. There's a cookout maybe on in the background. Yep. You're a couple months into the season. You know what your team looks like. I like that.
Sure.
Our last question. When can you fully buy into a team being a contender? Sorry. Asking as a Pirates fan.
When can you buy in? You kind of have to.
I have a pretty stern answer on this.
Yeah.
If we're being serious, because like, if we're being like, all right, when can you legitimately start believing in your team?
Yeah.
End of June.
Okay.
That's like my serious, like I'm going to analyze baseball and take it seriously. You have to put 3 good months of baseball together and then you get towards the trade deadline and you know if you're buying or selling. That's when I can fully buy into you being a playoff team. If I'm just having fun with it, 2 games.
Right? Yeah.
I'll buy it. But like if I'm really going to take you seriously, it's like, hey, you're a chance to win the World Series. You're a chance to go be a playoff team and make some noise. I need to see 3 good months of baseball and see what your team looks
like. How many games is that? About roughly.
I think you're almost halfway there.
Yeah.
After the All-Star game, you're over halfway. So I think you're nearing like probably like 70 games.
75, 70
games. Something around there. So I need to see like 70 to 80 games of baseball from you to decide, are you legitimately good? Because you're going to have a winning streak and then you're going to suck for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So how do you bounce back out of those is what I need to see.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to go a completely different direction.
Okay, I like that.
I think if you ever get a 10-game lead in the division.
Oh, you're locked.
I think you should be very happy about contending.
Okay, I like that. So you're going for like the high ups. Like if you have a big lead in your division or like in a wild card spot.
Not even the high ups. Like if the if the Pittsburgh Pirates, he's a fan of, if they ever get a 10-game lead,
true.
You know, like
yeah.
that, what they have to do is just try to get there.
You want to know what? All you have to achieve in life as a Pittsburgh Pirates fan is a 10-game lead in the NL Central. And that wraps up the ball game today. Thank you guys for watching, listening, and subscribing. Make sure you guys subscribe on YouTube, leave a review on Spotify and Apple, and we will see you.